Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We have the one and only Jude LaCava today. Jude and I like to bounce things off of one another. It's like I do with Paula on Mondays. Widely regarded, widely respected Jude LaCava. There was a point, I don't know, Eric, did I ever tell the story about Jude and I when Jude was at KTAR and he was looking to leave? And I was in San Diego doing what I was doing, and I wasn't looking to go anywhere. And Jude said, you got to come over here to Phoenix because I'm going to leave. And there's a lot going on. And so without Jude, or maybe if you want to blame Jude, either way you want to look at it. You know, without Jude LaCava, you and I never cross paths, right?
Yeah, I guess that is one way of looking at it, correct?
So we could blame him, I suppose, for our lot in life. Same with Jared Nielsen, same with everybody. Jude will join us at about 10:35 on today's show. I wanted some space today because there's a bunch of stuff going on. First of all, the TV show last night was met with great reviews. It is year number two. I think our first TV show that we did a year ago on Fox Sports Arizona was just dreadful. So a year later, it's passable. No, it was actually pretty good last night. I had some nice comments from people. And if you missed it, it airs tonight for a full hour at 5 p.m. tonight. A full hour after the Diamondbacks game, assuming that the Diamondbacks game doesn't go beyond midnight with two dreadful teams like last night. Then tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for a full hour, and there's a 1:30 a.m. TiVo deal or DVR deal. So you can get in on that. So we're very, very happy with that. Best story of the day going, there's a few of them. Hope Solo versus Ryan Lochte is the low-hanging fruit story of the day. And I do like low-hanging fruit on occasion. On occasion. I am very pleased to see Fitz just destroy preseason football yesterday and make the mockery of it that it is. And that even draws headlines here in 2016 is beyond me. But he just hates what is going on right now with a passion. You think I hate it? Imagine being one of these guys stuck in these worthless August games. The Diamondbacks game last night had some moments that were probably among the worst that I've ever seen since the team has been here. And I was the original guy before and after games. So no sugarcoating on that. Last night, their ninth inning where the Braves scored four in front of not even family and friends, like just family last night. Take the friends out of the equation. There was nobody. I mean, nobody around that. There might've been, I don't know, 300 people. It looked like a fall league game. Derek Hall is going to get an extension. I have to talk about that because look, we all like Derek. I think Derek is a very nice man. He's done a very good job on the community side with the Diamondbacks in his role. But when you see anybody get a long, long, long-term extension, when the team has made the playoffs as few times as they've had, it has to raise eyebrows to anybody, everybody. I'm not ripping on Derek here. It's just somehow he has been able to work his way through the disaster that has been the team on the field. So I think that is worth noting. I had several people that texted me yesterday about, can you believe the length of the extension Ken Kendrick is giving Derek Hall? And my response is, no, this is a sign of loyalty. This is a sign of somebody that the owner of the team has trusted through thin and thin, because there's not been very much thick. And so I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, letting go of Derek would have been the smartest thing for Ken Kendrick to do to fix all the ills. The ills have been on the field. You know, people not showing up at the stadium, I don't believe that's a Derek Hall issue. Derek Hall can only do so much. It's not like the Diamondbacks don't spend money in the community. They do. But there should be nobody off limits to criticism or questioning when the team is as bad as it has been on the field. And that includes the president of the team. So this long-term extension, I thought about asking Eric to chase Derek today, but it hasn't been made official yet. And so I've done a lot of Diamondbacks in the last 2 weeks because the national side have finally woke up and seen that what we have out here is a disaster. And so they've come after him with both barrels. Like, Eric, when you heard Derek Hall got is getting an 8-year extension, you and I have not talked about this, but what was your What were your thoughts? And you like Derek, D. Hall, as you call him. Everybody around town likes Derek D. Hall.
Oh, of course.
What was your reaction on this?
The first thing that jumped out at me was the snowman. I mean, how many people in this day and age get eight-year deals? It's not it's pretty uncommon, but not totally uncommon for a player to get an eight-year contract. But for a president of a franchise, like you said, that has only made the playoffs once, and when was the last time they made the playoffs? The first time we started this, 2011?
Yeah, so twice in 2007 they made it, right? So yeah. The year that they went to Colorado. But no, I mean, nobody likes to have their pimples pointed out to them. But when their face is fully broken out, like the team has been here through the years, as big a baseball fan, and people that question, like last night during the game, I'm getting a bunch of fire can, because I'm making fun of what's going on the ninth inning last night. That's all you could do. It's, you know, we have a really good football show that's following this. If Burgos could figure out how to throw a strike, but he couldn't. It was walk. First of all, it was a home run. It was a missile that looked like it was going to the moon. And then it was walk, and just all over the place and walking around on the mound and all the nonsense that goes on. Butcher comes out. Fans don't like Butcher. They want Butcher fired. It's pretty predictable. Then it turns into the bag on Ken. This is all Ken's fault. I disagree with you in that the owner doesn't care or the owner has been getting in the way. I don't know. When you bring in a guy like Tony La Russa, maybe there's a reason why Seattle didn't want Tony La Russa in their front office a couple of years ago. I think it's very fair to question the Hall of Fame manager, just as it's fair to question the president of a franchise that's not been good on the field. And I hate to sound real crass on this, but most of you don't care what they do off the field. Okay, it's great that they write checks. You know, it's fine that they are involved civically. You may disagree with what they're doing with the stadium. I myself look at it and say, I don't know, Ken, that's a middle infield second baseman for $60 million, and you could own the downtown part. You know, why not just buy the stadium out? Maybe I'm making this too simple. But regardless, it's a franchise that in our town right now, the Cardinals are ready for a season that is at unparalleled heights in terms of hype. What's going on right now is hype. Guys like me have to fill 2-hour, 3-hour shows. Sports guys in town have to fill segments. And if they say, here's another loss for the Diamondbacks versus, you know, the Cardinals are going to be really good this year. Here's Larry Fitzgerald saying, we're going to be really good this year. And Larry Fitzgerald says, we're going to be really good this year. And that's our show for tonight. Thanks for playing. That's not really cutting it for me, but there isn't anything else to go to. The Coyotes hire a skating coach yesterday who's female. Doesn't matter to me, male, female, but it ends up becoming like this big story, like female hired Coyotes full-time skating coach. Don't care. Don't care about the gender. Nice story. Something in August to, again, fill my 2.5 minutes that I have to do. Hey, can you believe this? The Coyotes hired a female to teach how to skate. Wow, there's something you don't see every day. We're really innovative. Yeah, and last year was Jen Welter. And I haven't heard anything about – have you heard anything about Jen Welter this year, Eric? Anything at all around Cardinals camp?
I have not. Nothing.
No, nothing. So it was something that was a nice – let's just move through August, the dead of sport other than fantasy football, and let's just kind of put some stuff up there. Now, there is a meat and potatoes story today to talk about. There's actually a couple of them. Joey Bosa is an absolute fool in San Diego, or the Chargers are foolish once again because, for whatever reason, this franchise likes to bully players. I haven't decided which way I'm going to go on that one yet. But here's a guy holding out that's a top 4 pick in the draft. We're in 2016. Somebody please explain how a player can still be holding out over offset language. The Hope Solo story, though, is the best. Hope Solo versus Ryan Lochte. I'm going to get into that on the other side. There's some news with the Raiders today. A little bit around the Cardinals. Like, the Cowboys play the Seahawks tonight in preseason football. Am I going to go down to my local drinking establishment, crack open a beer, hang out with the guys, and say, man, the Cowboys look really good. Who's playing at quarterback? Well, it doesn't look like Tony Romo to me. Well, where's Ezekiel Elliott? He carried the ball 2 times for 4 yards. Now his shoulder pads are off. I mean, what do we make out of this? The Hope Solo Ryan Lochte story. I'm going to get to that on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content, by the way, up on our website. For those of you just finding us, whenever we start the TV show, there's always new people jumping on in. Sports360AZ.com. That's our website. Plenty of content. High school, college, pro. We do this show every day in partnership with AZ Central Sports. Thanks for being with us.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
So yesterday, I had day two of teaching. I do about an hour and 10 minutes at Cronkite over at Arizona State, an advanced sports media class that they have been after me to get to do for a while. And I said, okay, finally, I'll do it. I can't have it interfere with our TV show. I cannot have it interfere with this show. I cannot have it interfere with Sports360AZ.com. And Eric and I were talking earlier today, and it is interfering with something next Monday. So I don't know. I really enjoy it. But we were in this conversation about how 30% drop in audience on the Olympic Games was by millennials. And they want to figure out what is it about these 18 to 34-year-olds, which to me becomes insulting and insensitive after a while. It's your fault that our numbers didn't come through. Well, you guys need to figure it out. So the Olympic side, that caught my eye yesterday, and so did this little bit of video. So Bryce Harper earlier in the season was doing terrific. Bryce Harper's not been good in this since about July 1st. He hasn't. There was this moment yesterday. It's pretty cool. Here's Katie Ledecky, who's out there, and she's doing her thing, and she decides, you know, let me give you my medals. Chivalry is not dead. Maybe this is what Bryce... Eric, do you have one of those little rocks you put around your neck to balance you, or one of those little bracelets you wear that's supposed to get your yin and your yang or your zen back? Maybe this is what Bryce Harper needed, was a moment with Katie Ledecky, right? This was kind of cool, right? Take that.
Yeah, I liked it. It was, I mean, I love the fact that she brought all of her medals. She didn't just bring one or two or three. She brought all, what, five, six? You can't tell in the video, but several.
And the Nats put Harper on the DL today with a torn labrum. Huh. And just too much around him. So there you go on that. Too easy. Hope Solo. All right, let's get into this because I see something here. First of all, let's get into Ryan Lochte versus Hope Solo. So Ryan Lochte, what a surprise. We said he's going to go do The View and he's going to do Ellen. And I was a bad guy and completely forgot about the total bailout move by somebody in trouble. And that's Dancing with the Stars. Why not? If you're screwed up, like Hope Solo's already done the segment of Dancing with the Stars. She's already done that as part of her rehab. Let's not forget, it's the second time she's been banned. So as much as people like to rip on Lochte's dad because he's his agent and the mom saying, yeah, he was arrested. Mom, keep it to yourself. The Lochte family or circles got to be pretty savvy here because suddenly, while the world is crumbling under the feet of Ryan, the pool is going dry. Speedo says, take a hike. This bed company says, get lost. There was one other... Ralph Lauren says, no, we're not with you anymore.
Oh, and so don't forget about the hair removal. Oh, the hair removal. I mean, that's of all of those. I mean, who wants Polo Ralph Lauren when you can have a hair removal endorsement?
That's a good point. I think I've already started one with them. So all that stuff happens, Eric. So he's out of money for like 24 hours. And now suddenly the headline hits Lochte Dancing with the Stars. Oh, of course.
It's too easy.
Why was I thinking? Why weren't we thinking? So these really smart PR people, and actually Disney's pretty smart on this too because they got their tails kicked. They don't have the Olympic Games. So this is pretty simple. Somebody gets to the Lochte family and says, we would love to have you be on, or somebody with Lochte gets to Dancing with the Stars people. We'd love to have Ryan on our show. Of course, it fits all the benchmarks. Olympian, humiliated, ostracized, ripped from head to toe, bad guy in some people's views, not in my view. Okay. I'm not saying that to me, but there's some people when you go online, they just go right down, not liked, a rebel, all that stuff. Well, all we have to do is we just have to put him in a dance costume. Of course, have the little flowery things going on. We'll put him with some hot dance instructor who will then take him in a dance studio and yell at him at some point, "Don't you lie to me, Ryan." At some point, there's going to be this, yeah, Ryan went through his toughest part in life, but found Dancing with the Stars. It was a really dark time. I don't know what I was thinking. It was really rough, but I am going to mamba tonight like you won't believe. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Ryan and Sandra. And then Ryan and Sandra come out on stage and all's forgotten. Well, it'll be shocking that Ryan's not eliminated in like weeks one, two, or three, or four, or five. And how many times are going to say humiliated and all that stuff. And then he'll show up on Good Morning America because it's ABC. And he's going to talk about his dance performance the night before. People are going to say, you know, he's not that bad of a guy. We all screw up. We all humiliate our country like he did. We all get on a plane and leave our teammates behind like he did. We all do that sort of thing. But man, Fred, did you see him tango last night? Oh my gosh. And all of a sudden that water trough is going to open up and there's going to be the, yeah, I've made mistakes in my life, but with Dan and Yogurt, look at where I am today. So that's the first step in the Lochte solo port. So Lochte's landing on his feet, getting this deal done with Dancing with the Stars. Hope Solo, on the other hand, gets banned. Hope Solo gets banned for 6 months. Hope Solo didn't leave her teammates behind, get on a plane and bolt. Hope Solo didn't make up a story and put other teammates in harm's way. Hope Solo, after a match, made a comment about Sweden and how they were cowards. So in the heat of battle, did Hope Solo do more damage to the United States than what Ryan Lochte did? And the answer unequivocally to me is hell no. Not no, hell no. But this is the bailout move for U.S. soccer. All right, we got this girl on our team. Her Q score's not good, but she can stop balls getting past her. We've already banned her once because she's done some things that we think aren't really cool and in society aren't really cool and nothing at all to joke about. But she's still our goalie because, gosh darn it, we can't find anybody else. So she makes a comment about Sweden and what happens? She calls them cowards. She gets suspended for 6 months, effective like now. And it's the second time in the last 2 years where U.S. soccer has said, you're done. Please disappear immediately. So you guys tell me, okay, what is the bigger story here, the bigger crime? I think she actually, Hope Solo did U.S. soccer a favor when she used the coward comment because it gave them the easy bailout of, we got to get her out of here. She's hard for us to sell in front of Madison Avenue. She gives us this reputation. And I look at it and say, Ryan Lochte, now Ryan Lochte has yet to find out his fate from swim. Ryan Lochte could be suspended for the next 3 years, but if he's the champion of Dancing with the Stars, come on. Come on. He's got it going on. And he'll come back. If they ban him for life from the games, he's got his book story, right? You could call it number two. There's all sorts of puns in that one. You could call it silver medalist. You could call it my life in Rio, my day as Ryan in Rio. What it's like to race to a plane. You could call it all sorts of things with all sorts of chapters. He's going to come out okay. I don't know where Hope Solo is going to come out on this one. But to me, it's much more egregious what Ryan Lochte did than what Hope Solo said. Thing is, Hope Solo's already had her time on Dancing with the Stars, so I don't know. Does she have to go to, like, give me another reality show, Eric. I mean, you can't put Hope Solo on Bachelorette.
No. Like,
you can't put her on.
You could put her on like
Lost.
Yeah, like the challenge on MTV.
Yeah, bring her back. Bring back like Lost. Bring back some like old school show, reality show that first got started, and redo it with Hope Solo. You know, you could do an image makeover with her. Put her on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives with your guy, right? You know, she did put her on triple D's, and she could do her thing. She could look into the kitchen and say, you guys are cowards for not putting more paprika on this artichoke heart. You know, she could have a lot of fun with this. Jude LaCava's next, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. We have fun doing this show every day. This is not brain surgery. It's sports. Got it? We're back with more after this timeout. It's Good Thursday, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I was, during the break, surfing down in Houston to see what they were reporting down there around the Texans. And their top story is Texans specialty plates are tops in Houston. Of course they are. And Texas A&M was number one in the Cowboys. So they're going through the license plates. Then I was like, well, there's a game Sunday that's supposedly really important. And then their next story was Brock Osweiler saying that their coach is really talented. Got it. So, and then there's J.J. Watt sending out a text or tweet saying it may be next week. Now, the Texans are a big deal in Houston. I get it. But please get through these next 2 weeks with no injuries, and that's it. I only care about watching DJ Humphreys and Robert Kimdiche and what goes on at corner. Everything else is fine. Let's please get to New England. Enough said on that front. Now the talented Jude LaCava is with us, sports director at Fox 10. And you have some stuff on the Diamondbacks today that is just breaking, according to Eric. What do you have, Jude?
Well, I think what I want to point out here is that I think Kent Kendrick is in the midst of really assessing the organization, especially the front office. And the question will be on the fate of general manager Dave Stewart. Kendrick's, I guess you could say, taking inventory of how this organization has been run the last couple of years. And I would point out that I think this is where the concern might be from the scouting department to the decisions made. You know, I think Dave was a tremendous pitcher throughout his career and of course, had that sports agency. Kind of curious about how that plays out as well with his wife running that agency. So I'm looking back to when Jeff Morad was here, Brad, and as you know and knew Jeff quite well, he had to really divest in his agency to become a top executive with the Diamondbacks. And I didn't see that kind of circumspect approach when Dave made the move to the Diamondbacks. To my understanding, I believe his wife may still be running the agency. So I'm kind of curious to see how that plays out. I really don't know if Ken's going to say let's make a change or not, but I do believe, and the information I want to pass on is that I think Ken Kendrick is really taking a good, hard look, not at Chip Hale. I think he has respect for Chip. I don't think Chip in 1 year went from a pretty good manager to a guy that you're going to throw to the curb. But I do think that he may be looking closely at the organizational decisions over the last year or two by the Diamondbacks.
Okay, so let's go through this. Give me a guy that was an agent that's come in and has been a good general manager. And I'll tell you, it's been very far and few. And Jeff was not good. Jeff wanted to come in and change, and this was part Ken, wanted to change the colors of the franchise first and foremost, which alienated a fan base that, oh, I don't know, won a World Series in the colors they were wearing, but let's just try to make everybody forget about it because we've got it figured out. Two playoff appearances in all these years later, constant turnover, yet I think you and I are like-minded on this, Jude, and correct me if I'm wrong. I think we both respect Ken Kendrick's love of the game. I have to tell you, I'm stunned that he would give Derek an extension like this. It has to be a sign of loyalty on the field. Sure, they've done great things off the field, but nobody should be off limits. Nobody, when you're as bad a franchise as they've been, and you can't just say, well, we're getting it done off the field. I don't know. Last night they could have fired a cannon off down there, not hit anybody. And yeah, the team's bad, but I'm stunned by that move. I had Pedro on yesterday, Nightingale the day before. The question about is Ken thinking about maybe I should sell this is not out there. I've talked to Ken about it. I don't think that's the case. I think Stu's just been a bad fit from day one, myself.
Well, you know, let's go back to Jeff Morad. Can you say Russ Ortiz? Some of the decisions were made were just horrible. Jeff, you know, you're right. It doesn't translate. You know, when Morad came in, the organization deteriorated. I see a very similar model of what didn't happen with Dave. You know, I think Dave relatively new at that position with limited experience in management for an organization. So I'd have to say to you that, you know, my impression of the extension for Derek Hall is based on loyalty, is based on the fact that Derek has had to clean up a number of messes. I mean, look, if there's a change in GM, this would be the third. You know, we can go from Josh Burns to Kevin Towers to maybe Dave Stewart, all really in a matter of a handful of years. So I think Ken needs a guy that's a top executive that can make these changes and kind of do the heavy lifting. I think the error has been, sadly, what appeared to be good decisions on the surface. And you and I both were fans of Kevin Towers. I mean, I like Kevin on a personal level. I really thought he could uplift the organization. He was kind of like Trader Jack on steroids. I mean, it was too many deals, and a lot of them didn't work. So now you go to Tony La Russa, and you say, Hall of Famer. I mean, how can you get this wrong? He's a brilliant guy. But I'll say this, a brilliant manager, not a guy that spent a ton of time in talent evaluation. Let's not forget, throughout his career with the White Sox many years ago, he had Roland Heeman as his evaluator. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the Oakland A's. He had Sandy Alderson and others that were evaluating talent. Let's go to St. Louis, Walt Jocketty. I mean, I can go on and on. So did the decisions made in bringing Tony as a CBO and Dave, did they actually fit the proper role that was needed to complement Chip Hale on the field? And I would say, no, it hasn't worked. I'm not going to pile on.
You could also jump in, Jude, on that and say Seattle passed on hiring Tony La Russa to run their front office. So maybe Seattle looked at it and said, we know something. Jerry DePoto was very talented here for the Diamondbacks, but was passed over. Where did Jerry end up? He's ending up running a franchise. Josh Burns and Derek did not get along. That was no secret. Bob Melvin should have been the manager all these years. That's no secret.
Yes.
They should not have brought Justin Upton up and created Uptown in a panic move when Eric Burns was an unmitigated disaster with his contract. So, you know, you go through all these things, and you and I have seen it from day one, and it doesn't have to do with the Jerry debt. Anybody who brings up it's Jerry's fault with the debt, forget it. That's nuts. That doesn't apply here from 2004 to where we are today. This is the body of work. And the way the stadium
is. Look at the stadium attendance last night. It was embarrassing. Yeah. I mean, Pedro Gomez tweeted out a photo before and during, and the place was empty. I mean, Jerry committed to winning at any cost, and he won a World Series championship. And I think it was also his demise in terms of Ken Kendrick and overspending. But if you're going to try to be successful in a non-traditional baseball market, you really have to be great at your talent evaluation, your commitment to free agency, and putting at least a 500 or better product on the field in this marketplace, or you get what we see now at Chase Field at home. It's embarrassing. Ken Kendrick has a decision to make.
So let's flip it over. Let's go on the field then. I'm Paul Goldschmidt. I fire my agent, or I walk away from my agent earlier this year. I'm not in my contract year, but the team hasn't really given me an indication that we're going to be on the same wavelength. And by the way, this is turning out to not be a great situation. I'm the Los Angeles Dodgers, and Adrian Gonzalez's contract expires the year that Paul Goldschmidt becomes a free agent. I'm just saying, Jude, if I'm Paul Goldschmidt and I'm starting to look around here, you don't let your agent go for no reason. He's starting to get his ducks in a row. And for the franchise on the field to not get it figured out, I think they could trade Greinke a year from now. I do. Or 10 months from now. I think they could get out from under that number and have to pay some of it. But I think in Goldschmidt's case, he's looking at what's going on. I'm just telling you, you start to see what he's doing. He's circling the wagons here.
I think you're exactly right. I having observed Goldie, I think he's concerned, and he's concerned in not just the contract way, but he's concerned that these are the best years of my career, and look at the state of this organization. Yes. He wants to win. I think across the board, you also have to look at, did they really vet Shelby Miller? Did they really, when the Shelby Miller deal came down, there were a couple of red flags that I thought, and I'll be the first one to tell you, I thought that they could fix a remedy. They have not. Did he have the baseball IQ to really, yeah, he had some interesting stuff, but was he savvy enough to really pitch as a number two? And that question is pretty obvious after what we've seen this season. So across the board, this organization is teetering right now, and it's up to Ken Kendrick to, again, make some major decisions. How does he fix this? What does he do? Does he fire Tony and Dave? Does he say, Tony, you hired Dave. I need a more experienced GM. Does Mike Butcher go based on the fact that the pitching staff has been a disaster? I mean, there is a ton on the table between now and the end of the season for Ken and Derek to address all over again. It's Groundhog Day. This model hasn't worked. Now, you can go the Bob Nightingale route and say, hey, are you going to pull the plug after 2 years? Is that unfair? I don't know about that. I just have to say, I think if you do some homework on the scouting department, you might be surprised. I have to tell you, Ken Kendrick has a critical decision to make to try to win back the fan base this offseason.
Well, and Jude, we're talking about Jude LaCava. The Derek Hall timing of it being leaked out is really interesting to me, with Stewart being next week. So it's like saying, Derek's not going anywhere. Yeah, we have this decision to make over here. You and I have had very passionate talks about where the Suns are in our criticism towards Robert. But where we're sitting today, I feel as though the basketball team has moved ahead of the baseball team in terms of getting it figured out. And yes, it's easier to do in that sport. You don't have as many players. Do you agree with me on that, or do you think they're both in the same boat?
Well, that's like saying, Jude, what car did you really prefer, the 78 Plymouth Valari or the 75 Matador? No, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Look,
it's cool.
I will say this. I do see a plan, a youth movement with the Suns that holds some hope. My question would be to a fan base that's 6 years absent of a playoff berth, are they going to be patient? Because this is a new 3-year plan. Now, having said that, we at least see a vision of a blueprint. I want to see how these – it's very tough to translate 18-, 19-year-old kids, the two forwards. They still have to figure out Brandon Knight. I'm not going to give them a free pass based on the fact that they're 6 years absent of a playoff spot. They mishandled one of the great minds in basketball who won another gold medal in Jerry. We know that. So, a little bit of hope there. Let's see how it plays out. I think the D-backs are really in kind of a, code blue, so to speak. What does Ken Kendrick really want to do to fix this? Because it's fallen on his plate. And I think he gave Derek the extension to say, Derek, here we go again. I need you around here to kind of clean this up again. You're a stabilizing force. Derek's not a hardcore baseball guy. He is really the extension of Ken to say, look, let's review the last 2 years. Has it worked? Hasn't it? Okay, Derek, help me clean this thing up. Where do we go from here? Will they allow Tony another year to try to fix this thing? That's possible. Does the guy get a mulligan because he's a Hall of Famer? I don't know.
I had heard Derek didn't want Tony to be hired. I mean, that's that he went to Ken and said, don't do it. But, they're not going to admit to that in this day and age.
Well, and when you look at that, Brad, let's think of it this way. Tony fills up the room. He's one of the great managers of all time. But are you willing to give away just about every aspect of your operation to Tony La Russa when you hire him? And maybe that's what Derek's concern was about. I understand the state of the front office. It's just really sticky over there right now. There's not a lot of people working together to fix this thing. I know that for a fact. There's a lot of tension over there, obviously. There's a lot of people wondering who's going to knock on the door, what's next. So, somebody has to either stabilize the waters here or make some real critical decisions. And it's going to come from Ken to Derek to clean this thing up.
How is it you handle, of course, Fox 10 is the home of the Cardinals, really, because most of the games are on Fox, and you've had that for years and years and years. I just despise August now, and I've said it the last few years. Peter King is with us every week, and Peter brought up the great line this week. He said, August has become the art of preservation, Brad. That's all that August has become. And Fitz yesterday used the word drudgery. The NFLPA is looking at their valued assets, putting them in harm's way for games that don't mean anything. The players don't have much of a say. The owner's making bank hand over fist. We've seen this through the years, but are we getting to a tipping point of, look, we're losing talented people in August? Alex Okafor could have got hurt during the regular season. I'd rather that happen than during a Tuesday drill in San Diego. how do you make this work? Because you're in this spot where you're carrying the game Sunday.
Sure.
You're going to get ratings. There's revenue attached to it. I get it. But this stuff is unwatchable, Jude, and it's not fair to fans.
I would agree with you. And I think that let's put it this way. Peter King's right. You could do this in a two-game preseason. I do think you do need a run through an audition game or two to evaluate your players 30 through 53. But I think you can do preseason in two games. Remember, when we grew up back in the 70s, Brad, there were six-game preseasons. It was outrageous. It was ridiculous. Now I think we can get it down to two games, and I think there's enough simulated practices to evaluate your undrafted free agents and your draft picks. And that's really, you know, what you have to look at with training camp. You know what you have in your veterans. It's very rare, unless a guy's just shot with bad knees, that a veteran guy that you've assessed is not going to make your team. So you're evaluating 30 through 53. But, yeah, I think you can limit it. I think you can look at protecting your players. Bruce does that anyhow with very limited snaps, as mm-hmm. we've seen so far in preseason. So why not go to two preseason games? Well, now you deal with the owners and saying, quote, we can get 16 plus 4. That's the kind of TV revenue we sell. And we know it's all about greed and money when it comes to the guys up top running these franchises. So it's a dilemma. The question really, and I think Aaron Rodgers brought it up, and it's come up recently with the quest of saving money for an upcoming work stoppage in 2021. I know that's quite a ways off. But the question
is,
how strong will the NFLPA be when it comes to health care, premium health care lifetime for their players? A key issue, I believe, that should be out there. And then also looking at, they've gotten some progress regarding two-a-days and those types of things and not hitting them during training camp and practice. But how will they effectively negotiate a safer game? That's really the question I would ask when negotiations begin in a few years.
Because you and I see the former players. There's guys I won't put on the air anymore. I don't want to embarrass them. They're drinking dinner out of a straw, a couple of them. They're battling depression. They're trying to find their space. They're the guy living in the trailer park back in the 60s when he played. He's living in a trailer park today for $320 a month coming in, and they have to battle over their health care. I mean, there's this underbelly side of the NFL with the concussions that they have not addressed fully yet or even come close to, in
Brad,
my opinion.
I'm glad you brought that up. I have to comment on this because it is absolutely a passion. I said this, and we'll air this interview in about a week. There isn't one player, other than a punter or kicker, there isn't one player that I haven't covered with this franchise going back to the late 80s, and I'm talking about offensive linemen, defensive linemen, running backs, quarterbacks, that I run into 5, 10, 15 years later that doesn't have some form of brain trauma. Not
Correct.
One. Not one.
Correct.
I ask these guys. Yep. I pull them aside and I say, how you doing? And then I get that conversation. And I won't name names, but I will say this. They'll say, well, you know, sometimes I'm driving around. I don't know where I'm at. Or sometimes yep. I'm divorced now and I'm trying to figure out if I can get a job. Or my memory isn't what it should be. There's not one player that I covered back in the early 90s that doesn't have these issues. And where's the support? Where's the league? This is a legit epidemic, and it has to be addressed. These guys are floating out there. There will be more Dave Duersons and Junior Seau's and Andre Waters. So you're exactly right. And this league and the society that supports this league to make it the most popular game, and I love this game. The game's been good to me. But what are they doing about this issue?
Yeah, it's something that they get a little wound up when I talk about it day after day, but you have to, and the movie Concussion got underplayed, and there's just a whole bunch of stuff there. I appreciate all your time, as always. Good to catch up with you, and we'll see you down the road.
You got it, Brad, anytime. Thanks.
Take care. It's Jude LaCava. It's good to talk to him. Fox 10, their sports director. They have the Cardinal game on Sunday, if you want to watch that stuff, on Sunday afternoon against the Texans. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now. You can check it out, sports360.com. We're Arizona-centric, high school, college pros, things that we see around the state of Arizona. A little different than anything else that's out there. We have our football show that's on tonight, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. It is on Fox Sports Arizona TV. That is before and after the Diamondbacks game tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., a full hour, back-to-back episodes. You can check it out on DirecTV. You can check it out on Dish, cable, all platforms. You can check it out. Thanks for being with us.